All right, let's get everybody muted and let's go ahead and start. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just praise you and I thank you, Lord. Lord, I just ask and I pray that everybody here tonight has something to contribute to the body here, because you know I have a part, they have a part, everybody's got a part in this kingdom of God. Everything from the top of the head to the bottom of the feet out to the fingernails and everything else, Lord, we all have a part in this body. And Father, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome night. We thank you for the Tuesday night. Teaching out to me was an awesome night and I enjoyed it. And Lord, I thank you that tonight's going to be as good or better. And Father, I just believe by faith that it is, that everybody's going to be tuned in to you, Lord. We're going to be guided by your spirit. And I praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that's accomplished tonight and everybody in Jesus' name. Thank you for getting us ready for this time ahead, Lord, in the wilderness, that we'd be a light shining in all the darkness out there. And we'll be up on top of the table, not underneath the bush. We're going to be up on top of the table, shining that light. And Father, we just praise you, glorify you, and we thank you, Lord, for everything you do. Everything you do. We thank you for your anointing upon everybody tonight. In Jesus' name, Lord, we just praise you, because I just love it when we all come together, because I know you're in amongst us, Lord, and our prayers are answered. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Okay. It's a good night. It's going to be a good night. All right, anybody got a prayer request? Hey, Pat, did your brother get the message, get the invite?
I don't know. I will have to give him I see he's not on, so his computer is down, so he's using his phone. So I might have to help him set it up. Or whatever, but okay. I'll check with him.
Yeah. Tomorrow.
Thank you for sending that out.
Yeah, no problem. I hope he can get on. I think he'd be blessed. Yeah, go ahead, Matthew.
I just got a call from my dad before I joined tonight. My grandma went to the hospital. And she had the flu, I think, when she went in, but her body started absorbing a whole bunch of liquids, and she wasn't getting rid of it. And so they took her to the emergency room. They got a lot of the liquids out, but there's liquid in her lungs. And so... Dad said if they can get the liquid out of her lungs, she can be released in a couple of days, but they don't know if they can or not. So I'm just going to lift my grandma up to Lord in prayer here. Lord, I pray that you would remove all this liquid from my grandmother, Lord, that you'll get her released from the hospital, Lord, and that she'll see it was you touching her body, Father, and not the doctors, Lord, that there's no question about it, that it was you, and not the doctors, Father. We thank you, Lord, for doing this and putting peace in my aunt, or while she's over there watching my grandma, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord, we hook our faith up with Matt, and we believe it's so, Lord, in Jesus' name. All right, anyone else?
Matt, I just want to ask you, did she get a vaccination for the flu?
No idea, but probably knowing her, probably.
Just wondering.
All right. Anyone else got a testimony, a praise report, or a prayer request? Go ahead, Joe.
I've got a, well, testimony and a prayer request. I'll have you all join in with me or agree with me for some prayer at work. But I just want to thank God for his long suffering, you know, just everything that's been happening lately. And like what you said, you know, Tuesday, Michael, about me and enduring. Yeah, I've endured a lot. So I just want to thank God for, you know, praise the Lord for his long suffering. I think I figured it out or just started to realize it more and more this past year. And even, you know, lately in my life, you know, it just blows my mind at times. I'm like, wow, Lord, you are long suffering. You know, you contend with all of us. I mean, you know, you deal with all of us over and over. So, you know, I'm very thankful for that. So, oh yeah. But yeah, I've got a prayer request. So go ahead and agree with me. Work situation lately, it's kind of, you know, people, the attitudes amongst the shifts, you know, and we've got issues with the customer lately that I'd like to lift up and see resolved. So, all right. Lord God, I just, we thank you for this time of fellowship, Lord. Thank you that I have a little group of people, Lord, all over the country, even over the world, Lord, that we can come together and we can agree for one another. You know, we believe that we're two or more gathered, Lord, in your name. There you are in our midst. But we believe that whatever we ask, God, believing that you will give to us. You know, we thank you for that that benefit as children of God. And Lord, I just lift up my work situation too. I thank you already for what you've done. You know, you've done a great work there. You know, the attitude, the atmosphere has changed, you know, dramatically from what it was. And I thank you for that, God. I thank you that you've been working in people's hearts. And I ask that you would continue to do so, God, you know, in my shift, on the first shift. But I ask most of all, Lord, right now for the second and third shifts, you know, that there's been a lot of just, it seems, Lord, there's a lot of lack of shifts working together. You know, there's a lot of selfishness. A lot of people doing things, Lord, that just, you know, making simple mistakes that, you know, it seems like there's no need to make them. But, you know, I don't know what's behind that, Lord. You know, and I just, I ask, Lord, that you would intervene in this. Lord, you would change people's hearts, most of all. And, Lord, I pray for just this a sense of unity. Once again, I thank you for the unity that's kind of developing on my shift. I thank you that I've been able to, you know, communicate better with some folks in the past that I was unable to. You know, I thank you. You've changed the hearts of some of those individuals, you know, and you still are doing the work, you know, and I thank you for that, God. But I pray you do a work in the heart of all those individuals who are difficult on second and third shift, Lord, who seem to make, you know, the same mistakes over and over that just, you know, that just cause a lot of problems in the long run. Lord God, I ask most of all for wisdom in the sermon on my part. You know, thank you for that. You know, wisdom on how to pray concerning these things. You know, I mean, Lord, I want to pray according to your will in this situation. You know, and I don't want to pray, Lord, just first of all, you know, that I'd find relief from these trials. You know, I would find relief from these things. But Lord, I mean, you know, whatever it is you want to use to continue to crucify the old man, use it. You know, if that's what this situation is, I need to be obedient, submit in that area, then Lord, help me. Give me the grace, give me the strength to do so. But Lord, you know, I just pray for a unity amongst each shift and, you know, even for the management, Lord, change their minds, change their hearts, you know, and their attitudes of, you know, learning to hold people accountable. You know, I think there's a lack of accountability in many areas, Lord. And so I just ask that, Lord, you would have your way in this whole situation. But ultimately, Lord, we ask that you would have your way to where just each shift would work according, would work, you know, to, you know, the betterment of the company. But just ultimately, everyone would work well together, you know, that we could look past our own differences. We could stop being selfish, Lord. You know, we could work as a company to, you know, better the company and to just see things overall better. You know, when things are better and people work together, the morale's higher. You know, the place is a lot nicer and a lot more pleasant to be. So, Lord God, ultimately, I ask that you would, you know, we ask for these things, and, you know, we thank you for what you're going to do, God. I thank you for how you've changed things there, and the continued progress, you know, and the continued changes and improvements you will make. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for these things. It's in Jesus' name that I pray all of them. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in his work there, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah.
Anybody with a praise report or a testimony? I'd like to pray about my daughter, Allison. Father, you know, I'm going to just put her on the altar for you. I can't help her. Nobody can help her but you, Lord. And when you do a work in somebody, Lord, you do a thorough work. And I just ask and I pray, Father, that you take her and you do whatever it takes to get her into the kingdom. I lay her on your altar and I'm going to step back and rest, Lord, because I know you're going to do a job in her. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, anyone else?
I'd like to pray for your daughter also and give a little praise report. My sister, Shelley, down in Georgia, survived some heart surgeries and back home, and she's thankful, and we're walking it out. So all I can do is praise the Lord there and keep believing. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for Allison. I thank you that you're overcoming this whole family with your goodness and that you're testifying through your goodness, Lord, that you are worthy to serve, worthy of honor and praise, and that there's going to be so much good praise and good heartfelt love for you, Lord Jesus, from this whole family, the Michaels whole family, is going to love nothing more than they love Jesus Christ. Amen. And Father, I just thank you for your goodness overcoming them and just sweeping them into your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jordan. Okay, anybody else got a prayer request or praise report?
Michael?
Hey, Joe, go ahead, brother.
Good morning. I just want to praise the Lord. The whole week we got temperatures of 100, 102 degrees Fahrenheit. And this morning, 1 o'clock, I woke up with some lekker rain, some serious rain. So praise the Lord for a nice rain. Thank you.
Did you say 102?
Yes, yes.
Send that's some 30, of that my way, will you?
That's 37 degrees Celsius, Chuck.
Send some to Andrew. Send some to George. Send some all the way up north. Yeah. Praise God. Well, praise God. You got some rain. That's awesome.
That's awesome. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Missy, go ahead. You have to unmute.
Sorry. I just said, hi, everybody. Bless y'all. My mom just sent me an email today, and she told me that my great aunt, it's her youngest of her aunts and uncles. She's only 6 years older than my mom. Anyway, she was in the hospital, and for that generational curse, congestive heart failure. And I just wanted to pray for her. I don't recall ever her ever being in the hospital for that before. So I don't know if I can I know a lot of, you know, these generational curses have to do with generational sins. The sins of the fathers are passed down from to the third and fourth generation and stuff. They're symptoms of a spiritual issue. And I know on my mom's side, that's usually has been manifested, I think, in bitterness and anger and unforgiveness and that kind of thing. I think that's the root of it. So I guess I'll kind of pray in that direction. Father, I just ask you to show Aunt Jean, Lord, in her heart, if there's anything of that in her heart, you know, unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, just to convict her of that. Show her, Lord, that she's not forgiven unless she forgives, Lord. And I know sometimes people, you know, their heart is right, but they don't know. Sometimes you just heal people too, you know, when they've gotten right with you in areas. And I know you did that for me, but I was aware of it. but Lord, sometimes, like I said, people aren't aware of that just to believe for healing, Lord. So, Lord, I just ask you for your mercy and grace for Aunt Jean. You know the situation, and I just ask that all spiritual things be taken care of that would cause this, and that she would know that she can go to you and depend on you for healing. And Lord, I just, in the name of Jesus, I just command her to be healed in Jesus' name, that, you know, that this congestive heart failure would just stop and would not be passed down any further, Lord, in my family, Lord. And the best way for that to happen is for repentance, Lord. So I just, thank you for the salvation of all my Aunt Jean's family and all of my family, Lord. Bring revival, Lord, to all our families. You're going to be starting a revival soon, and I just ask that you would do that. Lord, we're all believing for revival for our families, and I just thank you, Lord, for opening their eyes and their ears, Lord, and their minds, Lord, that they would know the truth, and the truth would set them free. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We count it all as done, Lord. In Jesus' name. Get my bug sucker. Got it. All right, anybody else? Y'all wondering what I'm doing?
Yeah, are you demon busting?
Well, we had some bugs come in, and what happens? They'll come up here around that light and they'll fly around. When I'm over there reading in the bed or something, they try to fly in my nose, you know, and all. So I try to. I got my gun down here. I can whoop them with that. Suck them into that vacuum cleaner. Amen. Boy, and it gets them. All right. Missy, I wanted to ask you: is your aunt, is she a Christian?
Oh.
Does she believe in
that? You know, I asked my mom that. Thank you for. Thank you. I asked my mom that, and she said, gosh, what did she say? She said she wasn't sure, but she said that my aunt had a friend that she was concerned about the things that she was, her friend was doing, and my mom told her, she said, well, just set an example to her and don't let her drag you along doing the things that she does, whatever that may be. I have a feeling, you know, drinking and stuff, because I think in my aunt's early years, that was an issue with her. Well, I'm not sure. Well, yeah, I think it probably was. I know. Anyway, so So, yeah, Father, I just ask you that you just give her true repentance and belief in you, Lord, if she hasn't, Lord, and that she just run after you with all her heart and desire to be righteous and holy as you are. And you shall be perfect as my Heavenly Father is perfect. So, yeah, Lord, help her if she's not help her to know what true salvation is. No greasy grace stuff, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We break all generational curses in that family to the ones that are alive right now in Jesus' name. We break it and cast it down. It's null and void anymore. They can't go any further in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks.
All right. Yeah. Anybody else? Anybody want to sing a song? Well, amen. Boy, I had a good time Tuesday night. I don't know about y'all. I had a good time. All right, anybody, what y'all, oh, Missy, go ahead. I didn't see your hand till just now.
I'm sorry, I forgot about something else. I had Julie and Marilyn praying with me last night for Merlin, and I had had some issues too. But anyway, the Lord started answering that before I actually got to talk to them. But anyway, Merle must have had a 24-hour bug or whatever, but his stomach was hurt. He woke up yesterday morning, his stomach was hurting so bad after a while. And I know last evening he said about that he was thinking about going to the hospital. That's how bad his stomach hurt him. Mm. And he didn't. And then this morning, he finally felt better. You know, he came down after a while and he was better. He said his stomach was all better. So thank you, Lord, for answering the prayers. I mean, geez, that your stomach hurts that bad that you want to go to the hospital. It's just a 24-hour bug. So anyway, thank you, Lord.
How about Jesus healed him? How about that?
Oh, yeah, that's what I said. Thank you, Lord. Did it.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
Just want to report that I shared briefly Tuesday about my sister not feeling well, and I prayed for her on Tuesday, and I got a text message from her. When I got up in the morning, she had texted me a couple hours before that she felt a whole lot better, and she thanked me for the prayers. So I just want to give God all the glory for that, because I know it was Him. And I just pray right now, Father, that you would encourage Mary in the faith, and to know that you really do answer those kinds of prayers and anything that we ask of you, that you would really draw my sister to you right now, and show her, Lord, that there's more to just more to Christianity than what she knows and understands right now, Lord, that you would pour out your spirit upon her, that you would give her grace to seek after you and run after you with all of her heart. And we just command all spiritual unbelief just to leave her in Jesus' name. Every doubt and unbelief of what your word says to go from her. And Father, that you would just draw her close to you this time and answer those prayers. And she would see that you are truly answering the prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Anyone else? You know, I was asking the Lord earlier what would be something that would we could talk about that would help the body in where everybody is at right now. And I believe that the Lord wanted us to talk about the rest, the sabbatical rest, the new covenant sabbatical rest. And so I said, okay, we can do that. In Hebrews chapter 4, let's start out in Hebrews chapter 4. You know, the promises, every one of the promises are past tense, aren't they? All of the promises are past tense, which means when we pray, it's already been done. The promises for provisions, for healing, for all of those protection, all of those things that God has promised is in His Word. They're past tense. And sometimes we get a little bit anxious because God doesn't work quick as we wanted Him to. But sometimes God wants us to just rest and be patient and understand that. Hebrews 4 and 3. For we who have believed do enter into that rest. What are we resting from? What do we rest from? We're resting from our own works, yeah. We're resting from our own works. We can't do anything to help God, can we, other than just believe. That's all we can do. For we who have believed do enter into that rest, even as He has said, as I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So I believe God's just asking that question right now. Well, why shouldn't you rest? It's already been done for you, hadn't it? Problem being, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to ask a question. What is it that steals that rest from us? What steals that rest from go ahead, any, mini, miny, mo. Catch a rabbit on his toe. Go ahead, Julie. You come on in.
For me, it's sometimes it's a double-mindedness, looking at the whatever, the situation, the curse, the thing, and then going, well, wait a minute, no, God, you said it. I'm getting impatient or frustrated with not seeing it manifest right away, and then I start thinking about it. And thinking about it,
okay.
And looking at it. That's what keeps me from totally resting.
Okay, it's the symptoms,
it's the circumstances, it's the impatience and getting frustrated. And in a nutshell, that's my yeah. What keeps me from not resting.
Okay, go ahead, Leon. You had your hand up. I'm going to get to you.
I was going to say unbelief, but what Julie said was the same thing.
You know, okay.
She expounded a lot better than I was going to, so I'll take it. Okay. Double mind. Okay.
All right, Matthew.
Okay, I was going to say anxiety, fear, worrying, you know, getting our eyes off of Jesus and onto the problem usually gets us out of the rest very, very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. So what does that all boil down to? Unbelief, right?
Yes.
That's what it all boils down to, is unbelief. People don't walk by faith. And when you don't walk by faith, those promises are dragged away from you. They ripped out away from you. Hebrews 3 and 18 says, "And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that were disobedient." And we see that they were not able to enter in because of what? Unbelief. So if you want to know where unbelief comes from, where disobedience comes from, it comes from unbelief, right? That's disobedience. It's when you don't believe what the Word of God says, and we don't kick back and just rest and believe that God's doing it. You are, when you are in the rest, do you have peace in your heart? Do you have joy in your heart? Do you have trust in your heart to believe that God's doing this thing for you? Whatever it is, don't make any difference what the circumstances are. It really doesn't. Unbelief brings disobedience. What did Jesus say about obedience? He said obedience is better than sacrifice, didn't he? He wants obedience above and beyond anything else that we do. Obedience to his word. And when we disobey his word, you're out of God's will. All right, Hebrews 4:11 says, "Let us therefore give diligence to enter into that rest, that no man fall after the same example of disobedience." That word disobedience in the Greek is apatheia, or unbelief is what it means. Disobedience means unbelief. 6, verse 6, Hebrews 4 and 6. "Seeing, therefore, it remains that some should enter thereunto, and they to whom the good tidings were before preached failed to enter in because of disobedience." That's the same word, apatheia, or unbelief. If you have unbelief, you're going to be disobedient to God. And that, what that tells you is you're trying to do it by yourself. You want to do it yourself. You want to take yourself to the doctor, or whatever it is, whatever the thing is. You always want to help God. And you get your eyes on the world, and you get your eyes on your problems. Faith leaves you. Everything falls apart, and then you're right back square one again. It happened to me all the time until I figured out that I ain't God. How many of you know you ain't God? You're not God. You can't do it yourself. These big things that come upon us, you know, gosh, I look back on my life and I see all the time that I wasted trying to fix people's problems in my family. And all I did was enable them. Period. And if I had just come to the conclusion, Lord, you're the one. I can't do nothing. I'm not able to do anything. I'll put them on the altar, and that's where they're going to stay. I'm not bringing them back out to off the altar. Isaac is on that altar, and I'm fixing to put that dagger right in his heart. and that's where God wants us. He wants us to do that. He wants us to rest in him, to believe that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. Can God lie? God can't lie. So if his word is true, why do we always get anxious? Why do we always get stressed out? Why do we do that, you know? Because we've done it all our life, you know. Your parents told you, pick yourself up by your bootstraps, you know, and get yourself out of that muck and come on, boy. You know, that kind of business. No. We're supposed to be just the opposite of that. We're supposed to be humble to the word. When you're humble to the word, then you ain't got to worry about nothing. God will bring it to pass. He'll bring it all to pass. What happens when you try to do it yourself? You fall into fear. You fall into doubt. You fall into discouragement. And all those things that happen when people live by what they see with their physical eyes, their natural eyes, rather than what they see in the Word of God, happens. When you see it in the Word of God, you ought to say, okay, there it is. That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to stand on God's Word. I'm not veering from it to the left, to the right. I'm looking right straight ahead. Lord, I don't care what these people tell me. You are in control. I'm laying it on your altar and you're doing it. And I'm not doing anything but just believing. I'm going to be praising you from this point on for the work that you're doing. It makes no difference what the circumstances is, folks. Remember what happened to Israel when they were in the wilderness. They saw miracles, folks. They saw miracles. First thing God had to do was get their attention, didn't he? In Egypt, he had to get their attention in Egypt. I'm going to stop and let y'all look like you're getting bored. Go ahead. Go ahead, Jordan.
All right. I keep reminding myself, and while you were talking, it was reinforced too, that we've got to shake each other in the body of Christ and be reminded that God is a living God, that he's alive. He's not a Sunday school story. He's not dead on pages. He is alive. He's the only living God. He is the only awesome God. And to magnify him and to recognize that he's alive and with us just as true as a door we could knock on or anything else, he's as real as he's more real than the world we live in. He's more real than any lie that the enemy can put in front of us. And to remind each other and to get experience with God, as soon as we get some testimony and some miracles like you're talking about, the power of God in our life, and to be, even if we just have to go back to where we gave our life to the Lord, where he first wooed us and brought us in, we've got to start somewhere and walk with God. We've got to be on the path that he chooses and recognize how powerful it was of him to call us out of darkness and to raise us from the dead. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, and he brought us into eternal life. And then every day is a miracle with him. And it doesn't matter what the world, the constraints of the world and all of the false systems that try to come against the knowledge of God that we have to walk in, we should be knocking down walls of unbelief wherever we go, because there's institutions of unbelief that's their sole purpose for the last thousands of years has been to build up all of these constraints to the truth. And we've got to see the kingdom wherever we go. And if we bring the kingdom with us, and if we can't see it and get agreement with us, then God and the Holy Spirit will agree with us, and we'll overtake and we'll shine the kingdom in darkness. And if we're surrounded in darkness, then that's where God's put us to show the kingdom today. And it's that living God that'll keep us from sin. It's that living God that'll offer hope to other people and plant seeds that'll grow, that'll never be extinguished. And I've been thinking, too, about the body of Christ. It's not just the body that's living right now. There is a body of believers and clouds of witnesses that are cheering us on. The whole body of Christ from before the foundations of the world is connected in faith to build, and their testimonies are our testimonies, everything. There's only one that ascends to heaven, and that's the one that descended from heaven. And when we read about somebody like George Mueller or somebody who believed only for God to provide for them, then we can take that same testimony and we can build on that. And that's my brother. A lot of us don't get the fellowship with believers, but we can read about testimonies or hear David's testimonies or build our own, and from faith to faith and grace to grace, whatever we've got to do, if we have to find the right people who actually believe God, you know, we want to please God with faith and give him something to work with. We have got to be a people that pleases God. And just finding other people who believe and held on and God came through for them. You know, if there's nothing else we can do but keep working through other people's faith till we get our own, you know, a living God is going to, he is the author and the finisher of our faith, and he is going to come through large in our lives because this is a body of believers. So I could keep going, but I don't want to. Thank you.
I guess you got to unmute yourself before you can talk. Okay. Oh, what I was saying was that was awesome. And I'm asking for more people input here. What is the rest to you? What is the rest? Have we all gotten to the point to where we are resting in every instance? Yeah, Joe.
I think it's pretty much letting go. From what little I know, you know, just kind of coming back to these teachings, you know, for this year here, I think it's letting go. Yeah, just, I mean, that's what resting is. You know, to put it simply, letting go of how you think you should do it. And I mean, you know, you were clear. I mean, the reason we do was unbelief. You know, double-mindedness, like you said, Julie. Yeah, that's exactly. I mean, you wouldn't strive. And you wouldn't keep working, you know, if you believed, you know, just simply believe. And you let go, you know, you let go of all that striving. I mean, I can't tell you how long I've been doing that or I did that. And I still struggle at times. You know, I think what one of my biggest issues is what you were saying earlier there. I mean, just that lack of patience. You know, you have to endure that trial. You know, you got to say it. Yeah, I believe it. Settle that, you know, that you believe and then just endure. And I think it's, yeah, we're living this society that just, you know, we want everything now. We want it now. We want, you know, we never want to wait for anything. And that's, I mean, being around that, yeah, that's been the biggest, I mean, you know, one of the biggest obstacles for me is just waiting and just not being double-minded. But yeah, just ultimately just letting go. You know, resting, letting go of what you think you have to do, and just, you know, yeah, don't be double-minded and just believe. So,
amen. All right, Missy, go ahead.
Well, I think rest is laying everything down, denying yourself, believing that you died. It's no longer you that live, but Christ lives in you. Just giving everything to the Lord. And as Andrew Murray would say, is absolute surrender. And I'm almost to the end of abide in Christ, and oh, wow. It's just between first waiting on God and now this, when I'm almost to the end of this, it's like, it's this progression. You know, the other day he spoke about joy and then it's just, you can't have joy if you're not denying yourself. The joy is the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength, you know? Not strength in your flesh, but strength, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So anyway, wow, it's just been so good reading this. You know, today was on, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And the day before that was talking about joy, that my joy, maybe you and your joy may be made full, and I can't even talk about it because there's just too much. Those are just tiny little pieces. It's just this whole matter of joy. You know, love one another as I have loved you. And how the Lord did that was he laid himself down for us. No greater love have a man than this, than a man, than a, no greater love has this than a man lay down his life for his friend. And just reading this, after reading Joy yesterday and reading this about loving your fellow believers is the title of today's. And I mean, by the Lord's mercy and grace, I'm really getting it. It's a joy to lay down your life, because that's what the Lord did for us. That's all I got to say.
Well, that's enough. That's good. Yeah, Andy has a great way of explaining things. It's pretty good. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Matt.
For me, the rest is a place where I completely believe and trust God to take care of my needs, everything Mama. For me, my family, Mama. Whether it be spiritually, physically, or emotionally. But I'm not saying that I'm completely there. You know, the Lord's been teaching me a lot of that lately. And it was like we do on our Bible study Wednesday, Fear Not the Wilderness. And it's the wilderness that brings you into the rest of knowing that, you know, God has you here for a reason, and that he is going to supply for you for your every need. As long as, you know, you believe, you put your belief and your faith in him. You know, you give him your life, your all. And I mean, David's a great example of that, you know, going through that wilderness, completely trusting God, completely resting in God's word, you know. And that's what my view of the rest. God bless.
All right. Anybody else? The thing about the rest that I'm finding out daily is that it doesn't make any difference what the circumstance is. It can be something inside of you. And you just have to, all you have to do is say, Lord, I'm going to give it to you and let you take it out of me. Because I can't do it. I'm not going to walk it out. I don't know how to walk it out. Even if I could walk it out, I'm going to trust you to get this out of me. And then I forget about it and allow the Lord to do it. And the next thing you know, it's gone. It's gone. The rest is a mighty tool of faith that God has given us. And when we get anxious and when we, this is happening, you know, people calling me from all sides, you know, this is going wrong, this over here is going wrong, this is going wrong. We finally learn. I have. I'll tell you what I learned. I just said, well, let's just pray. David, you know, he's a prime example. Something goes wrong, well, let's just pray. All right, let's do it. And all of those circumstances, after you go through them, they didn't amount to nothing, actually. Didn't amount to anything because God took care of it. You allowed him to take care of it. You step back out of the picture. You quit trying to help God, and God can do it. He does it a whole lot quicker than we can. We keep on messing with him. He's just going to step back and watch you. Watch you fail. And then you're going to have to go around the mountain again. Every instance of your life, You have to be in the rest that God's doing it. Everest, y'all remember the story of the Israelites. I don't have to go through all of that. How they had murmured. We're talking God sitting out there with a smokestack leading them during the day and a fire at night. Come on now. Bringing water out of a rock. It ain't no water within 500 miles of them. Glory to God. And they still murmur. Sometimes that's the way we are. I'm looking at Michael now. Sometimes, till I finally figured it out, said, look, give it to God. He can do a whole lot better job than I can. Or y'all can too. I can tell you that. He can do a whole lot better job. And then that joy that Missy was talking about will come in your life in a mighty way. That joy, because, you know, looky here. Just like Paul, look, here comes another one. Here comes another one. That's okay. That's all right. God's got it. God's got it. I might have to go through a little of it, but that's okay. I know God's got me in his hand. This shipwreck ain't nothing, man. That stoning, it won't nothing, you know. They thought I was dead. I jumped up out of that death like it won't nothing, man. God just pulled me right out of there. You know, and you'll have testimonies like that. You'll be able to teach other people how to fall up into that rest, how to crawl up into that rest of God and abide in him when we understand what the rest is. What the unrest is disobedience and unbelief. And it steals your faith. It steals it. Fear steals your faith. Anxiety steals your faith. All of those things that are of the flesh steal your faith. And I know people around us get anxious. I've been through it. Y'all have been through it. And you start telling them, I'll tell you what. I'm going to give it to God. Let's pray. After a while, you won't get near as many phone calls. That's a natural fact. But when they do call, they're desperate and they want some prayer then. They know that Papa or Daddy is going to pray and God's going to do something. Then you got a chance to teach them a little bit. That's the echo with everybody around us, you know. And Matt's right. David is a good example of that, you know. You know, the 6 years that he and I have been together, I can't think of a crossword that we've said to each other. Now, there might have been some thoughts. I don't know, you know, but as far as crosswords, nah, we kid each other a lot, but he's just easy to get along with. I know I am. But anyway, David's a real good example for me. I've learned a lot. Praise God. Okay, anybody else? Leon can attest to that. He lived here for a while, too. Go ahead, Dave.
One of the things I was thinking about when it comes to entering the rest, and I have to work on it, too. Like, I just got off a month of work, so I wasn't in any kind of rest. I was just working. But that's just the season here at the post office. We go through that. But one of the things I notice when I can get more in the rest with the Lord, we're talking, and be more confident and have that peace about you all the time, and you just not really get worked up, is when you're close to the Lord. And it brought me to Song of Solomon 1:4, because I was looking for that verse and I thought about it. And he says, draw me and we will run after thee. And it's like, you know, when you feel like you're getting pulled away, and we all do, it's like we need to be drawn in by the Lord. We need to come back and get close to him again. And I always have that desire in my heart. Like, I'm not really where I want to be, as close as I want to be. I keep wanting to get drawn in more and more. And if I have things get in the way of it, it just makes me feel that much more bad about not wanting to get closer to the Lord. But I know when I'm getting that closeness, when I'm getting that companionship, that sharing, that fellowship, you know, that rest is so easy to walk into and be and stay. And then the world takes a better perspective, because you're walking with the Lord and you're in closeness and fellowship. You're not getting worked up and carried away with what's happening. And then he says, the king has brought me into his chambers. I mean, isn't that just you think, oh, I want to be there. I want to be there. I want to be that closeness. And we'll be glad and rejoice in thee, in him. You know, we just have to get drawn in by the Lord and get close to him. That's what we're seeing here. Or that's the rest. Once the closer we get to Jesus, the more we get into that rest. And if we feel like we're getting cold and we're not where we want to be with the Lord, we just got to pray to the Lord, hey, draw us back in, you know. Don't let this, whatever's hindering me, hold me back, Lord. I want to get closer to you. I want to have that fellowship and that closeness. And when I'm with you and I'm drawn in that chamber with you, man, nothing else around me is bothering me anymore. Because I'm in that fellowship. I'm in that zone. You know, the world can be happening and it doesn't matter because I'm with my Lord. You know, I see that being the biggest hindrance of people that probably have fallen away is they didn't get close to Jesus. They weren't trying to get that fellowship, that walk, that oneness with their Lord. And so things get in the way. It takes them away. It draws them away. You know, they got their eyes off the Lord. We'll pray, you know, hey, Lord, draw me, get me back. Don't let me fall away in this. Don't let something take me away from you. I can see that being a big hindrance. I was thinking also, and I'll bring this up, you mentioned about, you know, in Philippians 4:19, we mentioned that my God will supply your every need according to his riches and glory. But prior to that, Paul was talking about this, and it really hit a little differently on how the Lord can see this. And he said in 4:17, he said, not that I seek for the gift. You know, the Lord, when he's coming close to us and looking at us and he's trying to get us in and get in that rest, we're thinking, oh, we're going to get these gifts and we're going to be showing how we've attained to some status and it shows an approval. But he says, no, I'm not looking at the gift. He says, goes to his father, but I seek for the fruit that increases in your account. So we're trying to get this fruit working in our lives from this closeness, this bearing fruit, and the trials we're going through, where he's looking for that fruit, that Christness, that likeness that we're going to develop, that you see him, he had when was in this world. He had all this turmoil around him, but he had nothing but fruit coming out. And that's what he wants from us. He wants that fruit coming out of us. He's more interested in that fruit than he is the gift. We may have the gifts and see some great miracles, some great things happening, but he really wants that fruit developed in us. And the only way we're going to get that is if we're walking and getting close to Jesus. Then we can have all our needs supplied, but we have to have that fruit. Let's work on getting that fruit. Let's get close. I'm saying this to me too. I know that's where I got to go, but I just wanted to share that real quick.
Amen. Thank you, Dave. Anybody else? Anybody got a question?
I think I got a verse that helps.
Go ahead.
Psalm 81, talking about sing aloud unto God our strength, make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Then it talks about playing the instruments and all of that. And that same psalm that talks about making a joyful noise tells how, says, verse 10, I am the Lord thy God who brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people hearken not to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I let them go after the stubbornness of their heart, that they might walk in their own counsels. Oh, that my people would hearken unto me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. This verse 15 says, the haters of the Lord should submit themselves unto him. And I got another definition of that. It says, those who yield feigned obedience says their time I guess it's their trial would endure forever. The ones that are in unbelief is what I'm getting out of that. But it says, he would feed them also with the finest of wheat, and with honey out of the rock would I satisfy thee. And that tells me about his rest, that time in the wilderness. The rest would be the quickest way across into the promised land, like you were talking about. But we keep jumping up in the flesh and trying to win our own battles. And then we make mountains out of molehills, and we have to go around those mountains because we see them as mountains and we're making them so big, when we could step over a molehill and go straight into the promised land. So that's what I'm getting out of that. God bless y'all.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? How about it, Andrew? Go ahead, Pat. I'll get you next, Andrew. Go ahead, Pat.
I'm looking at, as I'm reading this, and was starting in verse 7 in Hebrews 3. And I noticed, actually, when George read that, I believe it was that Psalm, in verse 7 in Hebrews, it says, wherefore, even as the Holy Spirit saith, today, if you shall hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And then he goes on and gives the example about how they hardened their hearts in the wilderness, talking about the Jews following Moses. And then in verse 10, that was the reason that God was displeased with that generation, because they do always err in their heart, but they did not know my ways. And so that connection, I'm not quite sure where I'm even going with this, but I'm just going through and reading, taking note of the fact that he's talking about today. And then in verse 13, he says, today, lest any one of you, he says in verse 13, 3 and 13, he says, but exhort one another today, so long as it is called today, lest any one of you should be hardened. And I'm assuming that's hardening of our heart. And then down in verse 15, he says it again, while it is said, today, if you shall hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. And this is Paul talk, or the apostle talking to the Hebrew believers. Today, if you shall hear his voice, harden not your heart. Again, gives the example of as in the provocation or in the wilderness. And then I'm looking then at the verse 1 in chapter 4, where he says, let us fear therefore, lest haply a promise being left of entering into his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. And I'm seeing, even going down into verse 7, again, he defines a certain day, today, saying, in David, so long a time afterwards, even as hath been said before, today, if you shall hear his voice, harden not your hearts. So I'm not sure. I know that there is the aspect of receiving a word, getting a particular word from the Lord, and entering into the rest of belief, faith in that particular promise, and enduring in that that belief, and walking where it takes you through whatever path that it takes you, and eventually resting in that truth and in that resting in the promise of that truth so that you are comfortable in it. However, I guess if I have a question at all, it would be, I know that there is a progressive truth by truth by truth apprehension of his word and entering into that rest. But is this what God is talking about when he says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts? Or is this something else that does that he changes in our heart to be able to enter into the rest of all of his promises that he provides us? And the only reason I say that is in verse 1, it says, let us fear, therefore, lest haply a promise being left of entering into his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. And I guess my question would be, Lord, in verse 1, are you talking about a general principle of entering into it, every individual promise on an individual basis? Or are you talking here in verse 1 of doing something, something happening within my heart, a promise that I have not entered into, of changing my heart so that the other promises and realities of God are more acceptable, shall I say? I don't even think I mean to say more acceptable, but more obtainable, applicable, or whatever. I don't know if I'm making sense by that question. Maybe I'm generating more confusion. But there it is.
Go ahead, Willie.
I'm gonna say what you always say. Salvation is instant and progressive. The rest is instant and progressive. You know, when we first confess Jesus Christ, rest. You know, as we grow in Jesus Christ, progressive. You know, we learn something more and more about Christ when we enter into that rest. You know, so that day we heard his voice. You know, and it says, it calls it a day. You know, why does it call it a day? Because it's a constant renewing, you know. It expresses God being, you know, forever now or eternal, you know. Just like he said to Moses, you know, today is going to be, you know, the very first day for you guys, you know. When they came out of bondage, he gave them a day. And it was like he was pronouncing, oh, today you are all born again. You know, today is going to be a new month for you. I can't remember that scripture exactly, but it kind of reminds me of that. But it says, today, if you shall hear his voice, you know, and with God, he's eternal. So he's letting you know whatever promise is instant and progressive. And as I reveal rest unto you, you know, today, whatever it is, he's not talking about the days of our week. He's talking about, you know, a constant renewing, you know, of the mind, you know. A constant renewing. It is like a day that never passes away, a day that never ends. You guys get what I'm trying to say? And so when you came into Christ, you entered into a new day. Like, you entered into, you know, eternal life. It was like the day of all days, you know. And then you learn something about him, and you're like, you're realizing it's still that from that day, you know. Then you learn something about him, you learn that it's still from that day. Everything is still going to be from that first day in which you met him, you know. And I just find that interesting. That's why I say it's instant and progressive. That day you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you know, and you entered into his rest. And now you get to progress more and more into the knowledge of that rest. But you're in the same day, you know, because if you were in heaven, you wouldn't be young, you wouldn't be old. I would like to put it like Howard Pittman. You'd be super extraordinary, you know, kind of like that forever now. And so that day began with Jesus Christ, you know, and then everything springs forth from that day. You know, he says, I will, you know, out of your belly shall come forth rivers of living water, you know, and it started from when? It started from that day, you know. That well is never going to run dry, you know. It's going to be a well springing forth, you know, a well spring of, how does that scripture go? I can't remember, what springing unto heaven, you know. And that's my idea about the day, you know, how I perceive it. I'm done.
So, Willie, what's your take on, less happily, a promise being left of entering into his rest? Do you see that as, is there a one promise, shall we say, or is that every one of his promises or truths or words that we enter, that we take rest in and confidence in its fulfillment in our life? Or is there one thing that I missed or that I'm missing here that God has? Because the apostle here is talking to a church of Christians, of Hebrew Christians, that I would strongly suspect, because they are within the first 100 years from Christ, you know, within that first 100-year generation, that their brand of Christianity far surpasses anything that we have in this modern day and age, that they are probably closer to walking in the truths of Jesus as opposed, and so Paul is coming to these people and saying, let us fear, therefore. So he saw something in this group of people, lest a promise being left of us, being left of entering into his rest, that we seem to fall short of it. So and if he's talking to these Christians, how much more is there a possibility 2,000 years later that I have missed the boat entirely, you know? So that was my thought.
Let me give you one verse that'll handle everything you just asked. I think I understand what you're saying. Mark 11:24. Okay. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, all things, don't leave nothing out. All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that ye received them, past tense, and you shall have them. I don't leave none of the promises out, if that's what you're asking. Go ahead, Willie.
Okay, let us fear. We're talking about the word God, you know. In Hebrews, they were talking about the divinity of Jesus Christ, right? You know, it says in the scriptures, in the book of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, you know. But fools despise knowledge, you know, they'll turn away from it. They'll backslide, you know, and they won't enter into that rest, you know, which comes from that knowledge, you know. When I look at day, I look at Jesus Christ, and then he used the word fear, you know, continue in Christ, you know, and let happily any of us come short, you know, short of what? The promise, you know. The promises, you know, they work in conjunction one with another. We just take certain words, you know, that are being presented right in front of us. You know, he's not only telling them, okay, you come to Jesus Christ that day. You know, you have all the benefits and packages of Jesus Christ. You know, therefore fear and don't fall away. Because Jesus Christ is Lord. Let no man deceive you. Don't get into the worshiping of angels. Don't let those people deceive you, you know, and what they're trying to teach to you. You know, Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the only one that the Father said, you know, this is my, and let all the angels worship him. And you know how it says in Hebrews. See, someone came along to them preaching, you know, the law from what it sounds like. And, you know, Paul was like, okay, no, it's not angels. It's Jesus Christ, you know. Someone came saying something to them from what it sounds like to me. And what it, you know, it sounds like he's just warning them and letting you know Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, remember that day. You know, remember all the promises that are in him. Fear God. You know, that's what I'm seeing. You know, but if anybody else got anything different, if they want to add to it, cool.
Go, Tim.
Well, what I get out of this, you know, regarding Pat's question on today, you know, first of all, in the Hebrews, in that section, writing to believers. So today, to me anyways, what I get out of it is that it's every day that you believe or act on the promises to feed to. And then it occurred to me that the daily bread of the Lord's Prayer, it could be what we're getting today, our daily bread, all our provisions, everything we need for our life that day, as long as we're acting on it, be our daily bread. And that's what I got out of that phrase, just today.
It's kind of a continuation from 3 and 19. Go ahead, Dave.
I was just looking it over and considering who he's writing this to first. He's writing it to the Hebrews, which should be a lesson to us because now we're the Hebrews. not that us as a group, but we're the ones that have been around the Lord now, our closeness to what the Lord is and His truth is for some 2,000 years. And now you got the church today that were just like the Hebrews back then. They had their religious setup for so many years that they had lost their faith, but they were steeped in religion now, and they didn't know how to act on faith. They believed in their sacrifices. They believed in their tithes. They believed in their fellowships. They believed they just had their association with the church, and it was all good. And now he's warning these Hebrews here. He's saying, hey, wait a minute. That's not the path. The path here is resting in the promises of God. It's getting back to your Savior and knowing who He is, trusting in Him, not in your religious system. But now we have a church that's doing the very same thing today. They're trusting in their system and no longer walking with the God who is the omnipotent God, the one who can satisfy all your needs and take care of all your everything that you need taken care of now. They don't have that faith for that God anymore. They have their faith in their religion. They have their faith in the promises they get from their pastor about doing their tithes and doing their communions and then being happy that they're in the fellowship with the church and then they'll enter the heaven someday. They don't have faith in the living God anymore. So this is what this Hebrews is telling us. He's telling us, listen, get back and know who your Lord is. Know who your promises are. Don't let your heart become hardened with unbelief from a religious system that you had all these years, but that's not God. But that's what we have today. We have the Hebrews of our own church, our own fellowships in Christianity today doing the exact same thing. Their hearts are hardened and they're resisting to walk in faith and know this true God that can provide and walk in and be a wonderful, loving Savior. They just know Him as the Jesus that was born on December 25th and we go worship baby Jesus. Just my thoughts.
Go ahead, Denny.
I'm going to let Julie go first because she had her hand up earlier.
Okay, go ahead, Julie. I'm sorry I missed you.
That's okay. Thanks, Denny. One of the scriptures that was coming to my mind is in Isaiah. We're talking in Hebrews about the promises. And Jesus is the promised land. Jesus is our salvation. Jesus is our perfection. He's everything. And one of the scriptures that was coming to my mind was Isaiah in chapter 30 and verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. And you would not. So returning is just repenting and believing in the promises, resting in what God said, and you're gonna obtain that salvation. You'll be saved. And then just being quiet and not, you know, bridling our, you know, we need to bridle our tongue. I can't remember where the scripture is in James about, you know, a perfect man. I can't remember how it goes about being a perfect man in James. That has to do with our tongue and not speaking in disagreement with the word, and just trusting the Lord, and he'll be our strength as we learn to rest in Him. And I was also thinking about as David was talking earlier about getting alone with the Lord and having Him draw us back, you know, from the things of the world and the distractions. And I was remembering the scripture and where John was leaning against the breast of Jesus and just resting in Him and, you know, just resting there. You know, that's all I wanted to share on that. Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead, Denny.
Okay. I think one thing I learned about today, the way he says that, it's always with God, it's always today. It's not tomorrow. And it's not yesterday. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow may never come. And if God wants something of me and I'm receiving that, you know, from either the scriptures or conviction or whatever, requesting something of me, if I think, well, I'm going to think about it and put that off until tomorrow, but that tomorrow will never come. With God, it's always instant. It's always today, whatever he convicts us of. And concerning staying in that rest, I know, you know, where we lived up there, we were taught pretty much that we're all sinners and no one can be perfect and therefore just accept it. And yeah, it's the way you live your life. And so if you're, you know, you can almost plan your sin and then plan your confession, you know, how that goes. You're going to sin because I can confess it and I know that God will forgive me. But that's, you know, that's so off. And but when I started hearing David's teaching, I was really in a conflict between what I had been living and what I've been taught up there and what I was reading in David's, because David, you know, in his teaching was that we're to have a complete victory over sin, total victory over sin, where we sin no more. And when I was reading his stuff and I was sharing the scripture that Michael shared about believing that you have received and believing, and also in Romans 6:11, believing that we are dead unto sin, reckoning yourself dead unto sin. And then the instruction was to trust God for that and enter into that rest. Trust him so much that you're just going to rest in the fact that he did it, and I died when he died, and so I'm dead. When he died, I died, and so rest in that. Well, I did that one day when I was just, you know, I got with the Lord, and I needed to settle this thing in my mind because I was in which way's right, you know, and I did that one day, and I just made that a real commitment to the Lord that night, and I was going to enter into his rest. Well, then, I don't know, about a month goes by or so, and I'm sitting before the Lord one day, and I'm looking at my life in the last month, and I thought, well, I've been overcoming everything. Yeah, I mean, I haven't been sinning at all. I don't remember a sin, not one. I was overcoming everything, and I was in that rest. And there wasn't a battle with the flesh. The battle was staying in that rest. We are to labor to enter that rest, and that seems to be where the battle was. It wasn't with the old sin nature, because the sin nature was dead, reckoned dead, and it was dead. And, I mean, it was actually dead. And I was laboring, and the only thing that was staying, you know, laboring to stay into that, in that rest. And, I mean, a few more months went by, and I got, it was like before the Lord again, and he had been keeping me in that place. You know, it's his grace by faith. He gives us the faith. He gives us the grace to stay in that place. But that's why we enter his rest. But with God, it's always today. You don't put it off to tomorrow, because tomorrow may never come. So it's always today. His rest is all, obedience is always right now and today. So, hallelujah.
So Danny, what you're speaking to me is that what you just gave an example of was a promise being left of entering into that rest. It wasn't many different promises and grabbing one and building on that one and then going to the next one. You entered into that rest of you being crucified in Christ, dead indeed unto sin. So I'm ready for that. Today is today. So I'm ready exactly for that. So I would like you to pray for me for that particular awareness, faith, entering into that particular rest, so that I can walk with the Lord and rest with the Lord exactly the way you did.
Okay. Yeah. Am I on? Off?
No, you're on. Go ahead.
Turn yourself off there, Denny.
Hey, Joe, you're messing up.
There we go.
Go ahead, Denny.
Am I off?
Yeah.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
You got to go in between Joe and you there. Go ahead.
But then it's also the sin that will knock you out of that rest if you do give in. So, but the labor is to labor to stay in that rest, stay in that belief, stay in that trust. And his promise is that he will keep you. And I remember reading in David, you know, he says even the temptations will drop off. And that's started happening. They were just, I wasn't tempted anymore like I used to. My flesh, I wasn't tempted in the flesh. It just started stopping, you know. And I was amazed. And I thought, wow, he's got a lot of wisdom there because, you know, and I thought he, as he was teaching it. And so, but Father, we pray, Lord God, we know your word is true and you want us to enter into your rest and to stay in that rest. And it's a one-time thing, but it's continuous. It's a life principle or a way of life of resting in you and completely trusting in you and then you providing the victory so that we don't have to battle that flesh anymore. You provide that. You've taken that battle away from us and we just enter into that rest. And we thank you. So we pray for that, for Pat, and for all those who I know, Lord, there is a labor involved of staying in that rest. And we just thank you for it. But it's possible, Lord, because your word says it, and you give it to us. We thank you, and that's your grace. Your grace is given to us. You enable us. You cause us to be, cause us to do, and it's all your grace. That's what your grace is, Father. You cause us to believe, and we just thank you for it. Because we're your elect, Father, because of your choosing. We thank you for that. And we thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Leon, go ahead, brother.
Well, I was just going to bring up something else. I was going to answer his question, but I think that he's sufficiently got the answer that he needed. So I don't think I need to.
Okay. All right. Anyone else? That 509 number, who is that? Is that your brother, Pat? Oh, okay. Who is that 509?
Probably Malcolm.
No, that's not 509. Be Malcolm.
It's 1509-498. Yeah, that's Malcolm.
Okay, Malcolm. Thanks for speaking up there, buddy. he's over there splitting wood or something, trying to keep warm. That's what he's trying to do. Praise God. Okay, anybody else on the rest? I'm reminded, talking about the rest, I'm reminded of a story about this little old lady in London during World War II, during the bombings of London. And every time there was a warning, the sirens would go off and they'd all head for the shelter. And finally, the little old lady didn't show up anymore. And then for the second time that they had a siren coming, that she didn't show up. She didn't show up again. They said, "Wonder what happened to the little old lady?" You know. The third time she didn't show up. The fourth time it didn't show up. One of them, after that, one of them saw her on the streets one day and said, "We haven't seen you down in the bomb things, and we didn't know if you'd been killed or wounded or what, you know." She said, "Oh, no, everything's fine." He said, "Well, did you didn't come to the bomb shelter?" "Oh, no, I didn't come to the bomb shelter." He said, "Well, why didn't you?" She said, "Well, I was reading in the Bible where the Lord doesn't rest. He never rests. And since the Lord's awake all the time, there wasn't no need in me waking up and coming down there and doing all that, because the Lord's already awake and he's checking things out and I ain't got to worry about it. You get the picture? She finally figured out that he's always got his eyes on you. You don't have to worry about it. I thought that was pretty neat. Did everybody get it, or did it just go completely over your head?
Can you say it again? Okay.
Oh my gracious. Okay, anybody else on the rest?
I wanted to say something real quick again. I was looking at verse 7 there in Hebrews, and Pat brought it up, a few of these guys brought it up. It says, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. You know, it didn't say you're going to hear his voice. It says, if you hear his voice. I'm not saying we're not hearing his voice, but, you know, if somebody's got a hardened heart, they're not going to hear his voice. They're not listening anymore. They're not really paying attention. But he's saying, boy, if he gets through that hard heart and you hear his voice, you know, listen to what he's got to say, you know, pay attention, heed. But I think that might be an issue here. People may be hearing his voice and they're just not paying attention, or they're not used to listening for his voice anymore. When they hear it, they're just letting it go. I don't know. I mean, I have that fear too. Like, did I hear something? Did I ignore the Lord today? Is there a voice there that I left behind? You know, that's one of the concerns I always have whenever I'm trying to walk my walk, is making sure that I'm trying to hear his voice. You know, I want to be able to know what he said and make sure I catch it, you know. So that's an important message. Make sure we're listening for that voice.
Amen. Go ahead, Willie.
There we go. You know what I find interesting is that it says you got to be resting to hear his voice. I find that very interesting, you know, because whenever I find myself getting out that rest, you know, I start hearing other voices. I'm telling you the truth. Voices from my flesh, voices from demons. I start hearing all of these different voices. I wrestled with voices last night. I was sitting up praying. And I'm like, God, I'm tormented. And, you know, the Lord said to me, he brought this scripture into my mind. He said, give unto Caesar that which is Caesar, and give unto God that which is God's. And the Lord said to me, Satan came for his investments. You know, then he reminded me of the talents, you know, how he gave certain people talents. And he said, Satan came for his investments. And he said, you know, you're allowing yourself to be tormented. Why don't you just give him what he came for? And I was like, what? You know, it kind of blew my mind. And I'm just like, I get weird stuff like that. You know, it's just the way the Lord talks with me. And I said, Lord, you're right. I said, say, you know what? You want your investment back? Here, you can have this confusion. That's what you came here for, right? Here, you can have all the confusion you wanted to give me. I started giving them back everything that started tormenting me, you know, everything that tried to bring in confusion. Because I noticed, you know, Satan tried to put little investments in us. Like, let me bring up something. One of his big investments in this country is racism. And, you know, why are we still following the pattern of racism today? Because there's investments in it. You know, there's a certain lifestyle you live in because of it. You know, and Satan will come back for those investments. He's like a loan shark. You know, you take hold of that investment and start trading with him, you know, he's going to call it in. You know, and he's going to call it in before you can pay it back. You know, and why? He started coming at me, you know, for his investments. And I said, and when the Lord showed me that, and I started giving him back those investments, I said, no, I'm not going to accept that. No, I'm not going to trade with you. No, you can have that. Oh, you can have all of these sexual investments too, and these investments of fear, and you can have all these investments of doubt, and, you know, and where I'm at with God here, you can have all of that here. So that's what you wanted. Here you go. You know, you can have it back. And suddenly, you know, rest came upon me. You know, I was back in that place of rest. But I'm glad, you know, God showed me some of those investments that were still hidden, you know. You know, I was glad when, you know, I was able to just give on to Satan that which was Satan, and unto God that which belongs to God. And I just found that really interesting, you know. Well, this is the second thing I find interesting about Hebrews. It reminds me of when Paul rebuked Peter, you know, for dividing, causing a division. And Hebrews kind of reminds me of that, but it's like that. Hebrews reminds me of a book that's a strong affirmation, you know. It sounds like, you know, I'm here to affirm to you who you are, what you might do, you know. Don't allow yourself to become divided, you know. That's what I also see with the book of Hebrews. It's like when you read it sometimes, it's kind of like, oh, it feels weighty, man, and I don't want to mess up because look at all this stuff that's being said in Hebrews. When it's really, it's all encouragement, you know. It really is. It's a huge book of encouragement. You know, Paul didn't just write it on the fact that, oh, you, man, you guys, again, you know, it was like this. Even though you'll see a rebuke here like he did with Peter, I also see just this encouragement to thrive and to move forward and to keep on, kind of like Joshua and Caleb. Yeah, we can do this. Yeah, we can take the city. Yeah, we can enter the promised land. Yeah, we can take all the rest of God. Yeah, we got it, you know. But then when we look at the words the wrong way, it kind of turns into that, oh, man, you know, I'll never enter into that rest. I don't even understand what it means to have rest. Oh, man, these words are so weighty and I'm so messed up right now. You know, I just don't know how to trust in God. And Paul's just like, look, this is what you are. You know, take hold of that information. Enter into that rest. Be like Joshua and Caleb. And then when you get to chapter 13, you know, you get near the end. It says, for we have not here an abiding city, but we seek after the city which is to come through him. Then let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of lips which make confession to his name. And when we want rest, what do? We just start making confession, you know, that God, you know, gives me that rest, you know. We make confession and trusting in him that he'll give us the rest. And him being the one to deliver all of that rest. But, yeah, cool beans. All right, I'm done.
Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
Well, I had a question for you, Willie, or if anyone else can answer this, what you said there. Now, you said investments, giving back Satan back his investments. You mean sins? I guess that's what I'm kind of getting at, what you're saying there, because you brought up, I think you said, like, you know, confusion, fear. I think you said unbelief, but, I mean, sounds like sins. Is that basically what you're saying? I'm trying to understand exactly what you were saying there.
Yeah. Investments. He, like, there are things that are in your life you grew up with, you know. Just investments, things that take you out of the rest. You know, the Lord will allow certain things to be revealed that's been hiding there. You know, he's a serpent. You know, his investments are like snakes, you know. You know, then God will bring them to revelation. He'll reveal them to you and realize, oh, this is an investment he put in me. This is why I always get this hook that feels like it's pulling me from the rest. You know, and we're thinking, you know, maybe I just need to do this more to get myself right with God. You know, maybe I got to. We just do that. Just give Satan back his investment. You know, and that's the way he kind of showed me. He's like, you know, Satan's calling in on an investment. He showed it to me in this really neat, clever way when I was going through that, you know, these torments that, you know, I just started getting attacked where I started praying. I'm like, wow, where's this all this coming from? I'm not resting, you know. He was trying to pull me out of that press. And then that's when the Lord said, you know, give them to Satan, the things that belong to Satan. You know, he's trying to sow something into you that he's trying to get an investment out of. You know, he's a sower and a reaper. He likes to copy God, you know, and he might throw a lust on you. And he's going to try to, you know, get an investment out of that, you know, make your heart fall, you know, make you feel weak, make you feel unfaithful. You know, just give that back to him. You know, don't claim it as yours. Don't exchange with him. Don't accept it as yours. Give it to him. Give unto Caesar that which belongs to Caesar. If he wants that investment of lust, give it all to him. Look, you can have it. This is what you came here for, right? Here, take it. Take it. It's yours. Here, you can have it. I don't need it, you know. It is, it, relinquish yourself of it, you know. Don't let it take a foothold in your heart, in your mind. Don't let him make it feel like it belongs to you, because that's a deception. You know, all his investments are like serpents. You know, they're very subtle. They're very deceiving, you know, and you just got to give it back to him. Give it back to him. Whatever belongs to the God of this world, and you know, and that thing is in your heart, Satan's going to come back for his investment. But he's going to come back, you know, in such a way that you're not able to pay it back. And he's going to pull you out that rest. And he's going to pull you into a place of torment. He's going to pull you into a place of mental anguish, a place of doubt. You know, he's going to pull you into a place where you're thinking, you know, maybe I'm just not serving God right, you know. And then he'll pull you into a place where you'll start trying to solve the issues with your flesh. Maybe I got to find a way to make God happy. You know, maybe is there something I'm not doing right? You know, you got to give him back. Give him, you know, don't let him deceive you with that. You know, just give him back. You know, don't exchange with him. Don't have a conversation with him. Don't bring, you know, Paul said he would not listen to certain men. You know, he would not give them, he would not hear them out for 1 hour. If Satan can get you to hear him out, you know, hey, I got this investment right here. You know, people come to you and they knock on your door, you know, investors, you know, that's what he tries to do. He's trying to invest something. He's about reaping and sowing too, but his type of sowing is to bring you out of the rest of the kingdom. But how he was showing me, yes, it is sin nature, but he does it so subtly. You know, he makes you think that, oh, you got to do your best to try to get rid of this. Oh, there's just something there. It's just, oh, you're going to, oh, what are you going to do? You know, maybe, and he just hit me with all this confusion. And the Lord just hit me with those couple, three scriptures. And I just gave it right back to him, you know. Like we close the door on Jehovah's Witnesses. Close the door. You know, but that's the best way I could put it. I'm not going to try to go too far and cause confusion. But yeah, give unto Satan that which is Satan, unto God that which is God. And you'll find a lot of delight and rest in your rest. You know, you won't fall into a place of anxiety, you know, with, you know, trying to be in the rest of God. You'll just be in the rest of God. And whatever needs to be fixed is in the hands of God. Because Satan will try to come at you. Well, you know, this ain't exactly right yet. This ain't exactly perfect yet. Oh, what are you going to do with this slight little increment over here? Well, this don't seem to measure up, you know, to the point where, you know, he'll start fighting. He does that. You know, he's trying to sow investments. Or he has an investment that's already there that you got to relinquish and give it back to him and trust that God is going to fix that and trust that God, you know, has done it and, you know, will do it. And Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's all I got to say. I'm done.
Amen.
That brought me real quick scripture, really just brought into my mind. I was thinking of that. You know, it's really good what you said, Willie. In Revelation 3:18, Jesus says, I counsel you to buy gold refined, but buy from gold from me refined by fire, that you may become rich in white garments, that you may clothe yourself, the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And I said, to anoint your eyes that you may see. You're absolutely right, boy. If you're buying into any Satan thing Satan has, and you're listening and you're letting them get in you, you're being defiled. You're not getting this gold from the Lord. That's why the Lord says, no, turn your eyes to me and read my word. And get that gold that refined by fire for me. And absolutely, Lily, I agree with you. That's the good advice. You know, just give him back what he's trying to invest in you. Because he doesn't want to take it back. He just wants to collect some more interest off you to keep that thing going. He wants to keep stirring that pot. He wants to have that interest build so that you're not going to have any gold from the Lord. Absolutely. So we just give him back. Give it back to him. Don't let him say it's yours. Give it all back to him and buy from the Lord.
Okay. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Denny.
Yeah, it's me, Michael. We're talking about entering into the rest tonight. And so we had a real wonderful night tonight at the shelter with these women. And Willie said something about getting out of the rest, taking us out of the kingdom, not entering into the rest. And these girls are trying to enter into the kingdom, you know. And so a lot tonight was a few times I think was spoken to them about rest, just rest, give it to God and rest. And they're even encouraging each other in that, and especially one particular youngest one has really going through some hard things. And so the decisions they have to make and what they're trying to do in their lives together, they really need to rest. And I just wanted to pray for them tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so Lord, I do lift up these women with tonight, Lord, and that you administer to each one of them, Lord, and they will just give their problems over to you, Lord. And you know, they're really hard struggles some are going through, Lord, but you would help them to realize they can rest in you, Jesus. Help them to rest and to give everything over to you, Lord, and allow you to take their burdens and take their problems and the weights, Father, and the sins they want to fall back into, God. You just remove them off of them, Lord, and just pray for them as they're coming into things of you, Lord, that you would just cause them not want to give up, Lord, but to keep pressing in, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just bless that house over there with all the provisions that they need, the protection they need, and deliverances and all the things that you have provided for them, Lord. I ask and I pray, Father, that the word of God would go through that house and they would completely understand what your word is saying. Open their spiritual eyes to see, Father, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Do they get some teaching over there, Debbie?
Yes.
Okay, good. Good deal. Well, all right. We're, again, out of time. It seems like 2 hours is not enough, doesn't it, sometimes? But it's okay. All right. Anybody got anything we need to pray about before we close out tonight? Yeah, Joe.
Well, let's just pray about this, that all this stuff wouldn't be lost in our minds and we'd, God, just speak to us clearly. Okay, maybe we all have something different to do, but you know, we all need to stay in the rest. You know, enter it. And like, you know, I think it was Dave was saying, and Denny and others strive to stay in the rest. So let's pray about that.
Okay. All right, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for placing bold faith in each one of us to believe and trust you in every circumstance that comes up in our life. Makes no difference what it is. And just like Denny was talking about, today is today. It's sufficient unto itself. Let's go ahead and take care of today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about the last day. But just worry about what's going on today. And Father, we thank you that you're going to keep our eyes focused on you, because that's what keeps us in the rest. If we get our eyes on the circumstances, Lord, as you know, we fall out of faith. we fall into unbelief and we get all excited. But Father, I'm asking you to make sure that we keep our eyes, place each in each one of us to keep our eyes focused on you at all times, and to keep our eyes on the Word of God that teaches us what faith is and how to do that and how to stay in the rest. And Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you that tonight's going to be a revelation to a lot of people out there also, Lord, that they're going to get into the rest tonight and they're not going to come back out of it because you died on the cross that we could go into that rest. And Father, I thank you that your blood covers every one of us and we don't have to worry about these circumstances. The circumstances are something that you bring up in our lives to test us and to mature us. And that's part of that maturation process that you've got us on to bear the fruit of Jesus Christ in our life. And Lord, we just thank you so much for doing it for each one of us. And Father, the next time these circumstances come up, I just thank you, Lord, that you're going to bring that file up and say, oh, we talked about that the other night. I'm going to kick back, Lord, and I'm going to believe you. And then we're going to pray that prayer of faith, and we're just going to believe God for it. And Lord, I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, for blessing that homeless shelter over there for the women in town. And I thank you, Father, that your word, your true word, is going to go forth into that place, and those ladies are going to get delivered, set free, and lead a wonderful life in you, Lord, in the rest. And, Father, we thank you for it. Lord, be with us tonight. Give us a good night's sleep tonight. Let us dream nothing but things about you, Lord. And we praise you for it. Protect us and provide for us and keep us in your stead, Lord, in the days ahead. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, God bless y'all. Let's see here. Get everybody unmuted here so y'all can say goodbye. All right, folks.